Well, good morning. We welcome you on this cool but very pleasant Sunday morning. We are in the season of Pentecost, when we remember the birth of the church and follow the story of the church in the early days following its birth. Thank you to those who participated in the Bible readathon. We are informed that the reading was completed on Thursday at about 11 o'clock in the morning. Wednesday at 6:30, church council at Roger and Gail's. We appreciate their hospitality and their opening their home to us. Saturday, please note that there's a graduation reception for Adrian Knapper, Barb and Daryl's granddaughter, at the Mountain Iron Senior Center. Note that there's a number to call there for RSVP. We invite you to come downstairs after the service this morning for a time of coffee and conversation. I believe these are the announcements. Would you stand, please, and take your hymnal and turn to selection 918, and we will read that together. Selection 918, we will read in unison. Come, O Holy Spirit, come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse us within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable our weakness. Convict us, life, and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us until we are set free from the service of ourselves to be your servants to the world. Amen. And turn to hymn number 313, How Majestic Is Your Name, and we will sing that through twice. We pray. Spirit of the living God, fill our hearts today. Our wills are weak and we need your power. Our spirits are dry and we need to be refreshed. Our minds are dull and we need your wisdom. Our bodies know pain and we need your healing. Our emotions are bruised, and we need your comfort. Renew us as we worship, O God of Pentecost, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. It's page 859 in your pew Bible. It was not through law that Abraham and all his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26. It's page 743 in your pew Bible. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
In Deuteronomy 15:10, it says, You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. We will receive our tithes and offerings. Shall we pray? Lord God, we bring to you our gifts of life, food and drink and money, and in bringing them, we bring ourselves. Take our gifts to do your work in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this another opportunity to worship in your house. Thank you for this season of Pentecost when we remember the birth of the early church. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to be with us and bless us and lead us and guide us. We thank you, God, for being with us during this time of transition. We pray that we are able to find people to preach on Sunday mornings. But we pray that you would lead us and guide us as we look for a permanent pastor. Lead and guide the pastoral search committee as we consider these things. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray that there might be an end to the disagreements and that our leaders might come to agree with one another. And once again, we've had an episode of gun violence taking place at a high school graduation. We pray that there might be an end to that. And we pray for our world, where there are conflicts in so many places. The civil war in Sudan that has taken so many people, and the war between Russia and Ukraine. We thank you for our military, that keeps us safe. We thank you for Sarah and Grace as they serve in the military. We thank you for our public servants who work to keep us safe, our police force, our sheriff deputies, and our fire department. Be with us now as we continue to worship and hear your word. These things we ask in your name. Amen. We welcome back to our pulpit today Linda Freeman. And before she comes to bring us the message, please turn to hymn number 409, In Shady Green Pastures. In shady green pastures, so rich and so
thank you for the microphone. Gotta make sure it's on.
There, is that better? Okay. As we witnessed the gorgeous greening of the forest this past couple weeks, have you been for a drive and you've seen all the various colors of green in multiple shades, so vivid? And the flowering of apple trees and wild berry bushes. Close your eyes and think about these passages from today's lectionary scriptures, from the Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. And Hosea 6. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. For God desires steadfast love and mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And then Genesis 12 passage covers the calling of Abraham, and that's the covenant promise that we all count on. God saying, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Paul's letter to the Romans in 4 clarifies, for the promise that he would inherit did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but came through the righteousness of faith. No distrust made Abraham waver, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, Abraham's faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. And from the Gospel of Matthew 9, the story of the woman who suffered physically and suffered shame for 12 years and fought her way through a crowd to come touch just the fringe of Jesus' garment, because she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. And Jesus told her, take heart, my daughter, your faith has made you well. Instantly, the woman was made well. All these passages have to do with our faith in God, our faith in his love, and our devotion every day to God. Wouldn't we too want to have faith like Abraham, who left everything for a new country? And the woman in Matthew 9? Today, I'm so pleased to see old friends, Jeff and his wife, Jeff Shirley and his wife, who served our church with love and devotion for many years. Thank you for being here. What a treat. I hope you come up to Timber Days. I'm going to be giving my testimony at the worship service. Our church is doing the worship service at Timber Days after this. And so when I scoot out the door with my husband, I'm sad to say I'm not going to visit with you afterwards. I'm just going to scoot out and head to cook so I get there on time, because I have to play the keyboard too, so they need me. Well, Seneca, the Roman poet Seneca, was considered a Christian believer and philosopher and a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. Both Paul and Seneca lived between 4 and 65 AD, and both died by order of Roman's Emperor Nero. Here's a proverb that Seneca wrote. If a man knows not what harbor he seeks, then any wind is the right wind. Let me repeat that. If a man knows not what harbor he seeks, then any wind is the right wind. The book of Acts records that when the Apostle Paul traveled from country to country, he took three different ships, three different times. Each one he rode on got caught in terrible storms. So he got shipwrecked three different times. But did that deter him? No. Even when shipwrecked and stranded, Paul eventually got to the place he planned to go. We see in Acts chapter 27, Paul was a man with a plan. He didn't let shipwrecks deter him from his goal. So what was Paul's goal? In his very own words recorded in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, he said, I press on for the goal of the high calling of Christ Jesus. In the book of Acts, Luke noted how Paul and the disciples obeyed the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Acts 16, 4 through 10. When God's Spirit directed them to go, they went. When God's Spirit told them not to go, in verse 7 of that passage, they didn't go. They obeyed the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Two chapters later in Acts, God spoke to Paul in a vision, "Have no fear, but bravely speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no man shall assault you to harm you." Acts closes with Paul ministering. The people he was speaking with disagreed among themselves and began to leave. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt when the people he was speaking with, and it's the very last Luke recorded, it's the last thing in Acts, Paul is ministering to people, and they're disagreeing among themselves, and they began to leave. But Paul added one more statement. Listen to this. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying through Isaiah the prophet to your forefathers, 'Go to this people and say to them, you will indeed hear and hear with your ears, but will not understand. And you will indeed look and look with your eyes, but will not see, not perceive, or become acquainted with at all. For the heart, the understanding soul of the people has grown dull, hardened, calloused, and their ears are heavy and hard of hearing. And they have shut tight their eyes so they may not perceive and have knowledge, becoming acquainted with their eyes and hearing with their ears and understand with their souls and turn to me and be converted that I may heal them." That was from Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. So they were stubborn. "So let it be understood by you," then Paul says, "so let it be understood by you then that this message of salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles instead of the Jews, and they will listen." And history shows they did listen. We started out talking about the glory of nature and how God manifests himself with the rains and how lush and beautiful the forests are. And Hebrews 5 shows us the majestic Lord of all creation. But then the writer of Hebrews pivots and laments, "You should be teachers by now, but you still need to be fed milk instead of solid foods. So we pray, O Lord, let us not have souls that have grown dull." So how do we avoid shipwreck in our lives? Think about that for a moment. Imagine you're on a sailboat in the middle of Lake Superior. Where you are, four harbors are about the same distance away. There's Duluth and Bayfield to the south, Isle Royal north, and Thunder Bay, each about the same distance away. A fierce wind comes up. Have you ever been on Lake Superior with a wind? The waves come over the top of the boat, and water is coming into your boat. Would you care which harbor you took refuge in? Probably not. You'd just be happy to be moored safely for the night. That's what happens without faith. As Seneca advises, be sure you know what harbor you're seeking. Many are the storms of life, disease, conflicts, worries, death. Some people have tried running away as their best escape from the storms of life. But isolation is not good. Think about the worst treatment for humans in a jail. It's putting them in isolation. Isolation's not the answer. And sometimes if you're isolated too long, you start thinking about doing yourself in. It's not good. Some people have tried drugs like alcohol or pills as their best escape from the storms of life. but this ruins their brain and body. Some people believe they need to trust experts. But experts in the 1400s said that the earth is flat. Atheists think they know the truth. Agnostics and secular humanists think they're right. And even some Christians think their stand on certain issues is the absolute truth. They won't even consider that their personal opinion could be in any way fallible. Pretty much everyone thinks what they think is the absolute truth. So what do you believe is absolute truth? Sailors do not go to sea without a map and a compass. The map helps them choose a harbor with protective breakwaters. And the compass helps them get to their chosen harbor. We have a map. God has provided a map. His holy word in the Bible is our map. God's ways are better than GPS, global positioning satellites. Study God's word. And the compass, knowing which way is true north, is vital. Knowing God's will. Course corrections need to be made from time to time to keep us heading in the right direction. Waves and wind are like conflicts that affect our direction, our personal directions. Some folks struggle with conflicts. Think about Jacob, Abraham's grandson, who struggled with an angel of God until he got blessed. The struggle is worth it. Don't be afraid to struggle. The storms of life can impact our peace. We all have issues from our childhood and young adulthood that impact how we react to storms of life. But God, who is so rich in mercy, provided for us. His word and his people can love us and help us heal and become whole. How do you react to a course correction? Through prayer and studying your Bible, God-honoring counselors and pastors, you can find help from God and work through your issues. This is what the weekly Celebrate Recovery program provides for hurts, hang-ups, and habits that drag us down. Sometimes people feel safer sharing heart-to-heart outside their own town, so Cook's Celebrate Recovery is a welcoming place to work through hurts, hang-ups, and habits. From personal experience, I can attest that working through my own issues has made a big difference for good in my life, because I'm not perfect and no one is. Celebrate Recovery is based on the Beatitudes, the Bible, and at every step refers us back to God's map, the Bible. Can we talk about what harbor is God's best for us? I submit that John 3:16 and 17 is the key. The grounds for salvation is faith that trusts in Christ Jesus. That is what is vital. That is our safe harbor. I'll never forget the Bible studies a couple of us girls had with Betty Shirley. That was so wonderful at the parsonage. I was wondering, what brought them north? But maybe they're going to talk to you about being a pastor here. That would be wonderful. But anyway, John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world," this is probably in your memory, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." To be saved is to be in a place of safety. Heaven is the very best harbor for our souls. Can I get an amen? That God wants all of us to reach that safe harbor. Safe Harbor is not thinking that we've got the corner on absolute truth about whatever it is. Not the style of baptism, it's not how old the earth is, not how we dress for church, or any of many other disputable issues. God does not want us to argue and break fellowship with one another over any issue, except who to trust. And we must trust Jesus Christ with our salvation and our daily life. Turn from our following our own ways, because we have to realize it's so tempting to just do our own thing and say, God made me this way, but follow Jesus' ways. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, and that is giving regard to something, is acknowledging it and giving it some respect. And so if you regard your ways as the right way, and that can be so tempting, folks. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And God help us if he doesn't hear our prayers. That's in Proverbs 15:29, 28:9, Isaiah 1:15, John 9:31, and James 4:3. And in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus prays to the Father that we would live in unity. Like Wayne's prayer, that disagreements would be settled and we would live in unity. And not just so we reach the safe harbor of heaven, but so that the world would recognize the power and the reality of Jesus Christ. Finally, when the storms of life come, when all is said and done, our safe harbor is faith, trusting in, believing in Jesus Christ, praying for his help, then trusting in and relying on our Lord Jesus for his Holy Spirit's power in our lives. And our Lord can and will bring the smoothest calm and greatest peace in our lives. Any other choice will leave you stranded. Let us pray. Father God, you are our Father dear. Holy is your name. The Jewish people wouldn't even pronounce Yahweh for respect of the Lord. Fear, healthy fear, is respecting God. Lord, we're just so awed by your power, transforming April's desolation and spring to beautiful, lush, green forests, flowering trees and bushes, and the hope of gardens, Lord, for each family in our family of God. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, the map, a light to our path. Lord, for your sacrifice of your son Jesus for our salvation, that we might have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us reach out and reach the community we live in and the surrounding area for people's salvation, that they might have the hope of heaven too. And Lord, for those who are hurting today, we pray that your blessing would abound to them, that they would feel a sense of your presence here in this sanctuary, and a presence in their home, comforting presence, soothing presence, the soothing peace of Christ that passes all understanding. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember the map and true north and follow your ways, because that's the source of the greatest happiness and greatest peace in our lives. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we conclude our service this morning, please stand and sing hymn number 685, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.